Earlier this week, Governor Ned Lamont told local reporters that he has no intention of talking about an electric vehicle mandate for our state in the upcoming legislative session. Joining us now is State Senator Kevin Kelly, who represents Stratford. And Senator Kelly, you have fought hard for quite some time against an EV mandate. Why do you think the governor is saying it's a hard no, at least for now, at least in the upcoming long session that starts in January?
Well, good morning, Melissa. You know, I believe that what we just heard, you know, just earlier this month at Election Day, was a resounding voice of working and middle class families saying that it's very difficult to make their budgets work, that it's unaffordable, and that there needs to be a focus placed back on the kitchen table economics of these working and middle class families. And that's where I think a lot of this is coming from, is that when you looked at that EV mandate, it really didn't take into consideration whether these hardworking middle class families can afford an electric vehicle. We know that they are more expensive both to purchase, to own, and to insure. You know, initially when the plan, or actually there was no plan, when the mandate was unfolded, there was no plan on how to address this issue for these families. And in moving forward with the mandate, it was going to leave behind good, hardworking families, but also particularly those in both rural Connecticut and urban Connecticut, and particularly those who aren't privileged enough to own a house and a house with a garage in order to charge these vehicles. So it wasn't really well thought out and was going to leave a lot of people behind. And so I'm glad that the governor at least decided to put a pause on this because, you know, the reality is Connecticut's air quality is still not what it should be. And so we can't stop trying to move the state forward. While this is a good news for now, what we were arguing in the past was that we should be looking at, you know, trying to achieve results that we can do now rather than putting more burdens and mandates on working and middle class families.
And, you know, it's interesting that you say that, Senator Kelly, because this is a totally separate conversation that I'm sure we'll have down the road. But we're sort of in that same kind of a war right now when it comes to our energy companies. You know, we have Yankee Gas now, the latest, which is owned by Eversource, wanting to up their rate increases as well. So I know we're in the midst of that sort of battle again, that working class families making up Connecticut, like they can't do it anymore. They just can't spend anymore. And so we know that this is a fight on a lot of different, I'd say, issues right now. But getting, you know, to the core of electric vehicles. So essentially, when I heard that clip where Governor Lamont is asked by, I believe it was John Craven at News 12 Connecticut, a former colleague of mine, who is still at News 12. And he says, so you're not going to talk about this in the legislative session. I don't want to misquote the governor, but he points to President-elect Donald Trump and the fact that he does not believe the federal guidelines are going to stand. So here's my question for you. So it sounds like we're going to put a pause on this for the next 4 years in Connecticut, or at least until, you know, either Governor Lamont can, I don't even know if he's going to run for re-election again. I don't know who's going to be the next governor. But it sounds like Connecticut may not tackle this until President-elect Donald Trump is out of office. I don't know if you feel, if you get that sense.
Well, I think this is one of the problems of the advocates for an EV mandate, and that is that they only look at this through partisan prisms and an all-or-nothing approach. You know, when we were talking about this last year, we were saying that, you know, an EV mandate to say that nobody can buy a gas-powered car, you're going to have to, all new cars have to be electric vehicles, diminishes the value of, let's say, hybrids, but also doesn't take into the reality of Connecticut families that can't afford that. But yet that doesn't mean that we can't continue to work on improving the air quality in Connecticut. This is where I think there's, you know, a total disconnect, in that what we need to look at are achievable, common sense solutions to improve air quality. That sometimes means you can't just go at your partisan, oh, we want the full EV mandate. Well, is there something less than an EV mandate that we all can agree on that will actually improve the lives of Connecticut residents? And that's where we should be focused, is what can we do, both as Republicans and Democrats, to move the needle forward for the benefit of our communities. Mm. Now, that makes sense to me. I mean, it's just common sense. Maybe that's why, you know, under the Capitol dome, nobody wants to do it. But I think that's what we have to look at, like taking things such as the money that we already allocate to green initiatives, like the Clean Air Fund. There's about $27, $28 million hanging around out there that needs to go into this. Be intentional with the historic transportation investment that the federal government is making. Be intentional with that to make sure that what we do is create a greener transportation system. There's ways to do this, working with, you know, what I'm going to say is the federal standards. And to refresh everyone's recollection, what we were doing was deciding to follow California rather than the federal government. Mm. And this is where, you know, I think what we can do is get achievable results. And so we have a new Congress, a new president, but that should also then mean new opportunities. And what we need to do is get our delegation, our Connecticut federal delegation, to now go to that new Congress and who I think we're all elected, you know, just like we were, with that same working middle class voice, and see if we can't get that to change some of these rules for the betterment of our state.
We're chatting with State Senator Kevin Kelly, who represents Stratford and other surrounding areas here. And we're talking about the EV mandate. It is off the table, at least for now. It's probably not going to be brought up during this upcoming legislative session, which is a long session. I'm curious, though, Senator Kelly. So you talk about compromise, right? You talk about how do we come up with make sense legislation that can save us on energy and help us to go green a little bit more. So I've been very interested in the electric vehicle saga going on here and across the country. And I've been talking to some of our auto experts, including Paul Miller, who's been in the auto industry for well over five, maybe six decades at this point. And he's right here in Fairfield. And I try to get a sense from him, like, what are you seeing? You know, what are you seeing from the ground level? Because he's the one who's selling these EVs, not selling these EVs. He's talking to the auto industry makers, shakers, all of that. And one of the things I gathered from him is, you know, yes, there's a lack of infrastructure. We don't have all states on board with this idea yet. So that's all fine and dandy. That's true. But one thing I have learned is that EVs, the point of electric vehicles, were really, at this point, the way that they've been modeled, they're really supposed to be for short distances. So, for example, electric vehicles would be very beneficial for school buses, where you're talking about just going throughout a town. And I'm curious, there are a couple of towns that have started to do all electric fleets, and they're still rolling them out because it's very expensive. But what do you think about that as an alternative? I mean, if you replaced buses, school buses, and the amount of emissions that are wasted on these gas guzzlers into electric buses where you know they're only going around a municipality, maybe two. I mean, our public school districts, if we invested in something like that, that has to lead us in a certain direction. And I'm not sure what you think about that.
Well, you're absolutely correct here. And I mean, just think of, you know, any family that has driven with kids, you know, any distance, like down to Virginia or out to Ohio, you know, you're not even, I live in Stratford, I'm not even in Bridgeport, and the kids, when they were, you know, 7, 8, 9, in the back seat, they were like, are we there yet?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And, and that's the problem with EVs, is that you're going to have to charge, and that charges, then you're going to have to sit and wait, and hopefully there's one available. And that just puts more time and more kids in the back seat saying, are we there yet, Dad?
Senator Kelly, can I be honest with you? I've literally said that, forget the kids for a second. So we go to Boston Bruins games a lot, my husband and I. That's without the kid. I'm going to tell you right now, I already said I'm not going to Bruins games. If we have an EV mandate and I've got to truck it from Connecticut to Boston and add extra hours, yes, hours, because it's usually about 45 minutes to fill up, if you will. There's no way that 2-hour ride is now going to become, what, a 3-4-hour saga if I get a charging station? Absolutely not. No way. So adults would not like it. Forget the kids. The adults wouldn't like it, I feel like, too.
And therein lies the problem why families aren't going to buy these. Mm-hmm. They are short-distance vehicles.
Right.
And you have to look at things from a different perspective. If you want to start getting results, like what you're saying, something that's just going to operate either locally in a region or even municipally, you know, just in your neighborhood, or look at, let's just say, the hybrids. You know, another thing is in the future that we're not there yet, but what you hear about is hydrogen is another alternative as a potential fuel source. So, but it's still looking at this, you know, a family would probably be more inclined to go with a hybrid that would be both gas and electric and be able to get you from here to a Bruins game or Ohio. And, you know, so, yes, you're right. We have to look at this differently, but maybe the extreme mandate isn't the way to go, but look at something that's more achievable, more common sense, more user friendly. What does the marketplace see as the way through this? You know, what's the market? How is the marketplace responding? And you noted that, you know, they're not buying EVs. Even with all the incentives, families just aren't able to do it, both from a financial perspective, I believe, both from a fuel source because there aren't enough charging stations, but also just the practicality of if you want to go and drive around through New England or even a further destination, then you've got an issue, and you can't use your EV for that. You're going to have a gas-powered car or a hybrid. And so it's not practical for working in middle-class families. They can't afford two or three vehicles. They're lucky if they can get one.
Right.
You know, and this is where I think there's the disconnect, is that we need to have this answer firmly grounded in working in middle-class families that, as I said before, does not leave rural and urban Connecticut behind.
Well, and I just, and I just think too, Senator Kelly, again, like, I'm curious, you know, you mentioned talking about these conversations between Republicans and Democrats, but do auto experts sit in on this? Like a Paul Miller, for example, not to throw him out there, I'm not volunteering, you know, sorry, Paul, if I'm throwing you under the bus here, but I mean, do you guys have auto experts sit there and go, hey, because Paul would love, he loves the idea of electric vehicles. He says it all the time. He's like, I love it, but the time hasn't come yet. He's like, that's just a fact. And so this isn't a political thing of, oh, you want to be green and you don't. No. This is a fact. This is what we're seeing. Do auto experts sit in on these conversations, like during the legislative session, if EVs or how do we go more green, if that comes up during the long session, do auto experts sit in on those conversations? Because if not, they should. They should. Yep.
Well,
they should.
Well, you know, I think more voices at the table, not only the auto industry, but I just think, you know, working in middle-class families also need to have their voice at that table. And that's what we saw the last time this EV mandate came out, is that the majority just moved forward with it. And they started to proclaim this is where they were going. And we then sat down with, for instance, stakeholders. We looked at different ways to start to say, hey, wait a minute, you don't have a plan. The majority did not have a plan, did not sit down and say, okay, here's where we are from an air quality perspective, and this is where we'd like to be in 5 or 10 years with an air quality perspective. Mm. And now in order to get to that point 5 years from now, you back off and say, here's what we've got to do every year to get there. No, what happened was Sacramento, California came out with a change in their regulations.
So we wanted to follow suit.
And mandated that. And so they just wanted to follow suit and impose this in blue states.
Yeah.
You know, and actually what they were doing was they were trying to do this by regulation. They didn't even want to go through the legislative process. And that was just not the best way to attack this issue, because it's an important issue. Our air quality has whole kinds of ripple effects on both agriculture, our health. You know, it impacts us on a daily basis.
It does. It does.
Needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
So how are we going to do that? That's in an intentional and smart way.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and we hope that we continue to see those types of conversations once the session starts. Unfortunately, Senator Kelly, we have run out of time, but I so appreciate having this conversation with you. And we definitely will see what comes out of the session starting in January. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it likewise.
Of course. Absolutely.